this whole service is being recorded, and you will find it later on tomorrow or after tomorrow on our church's website. Just in case, you know, you've got a relative you want to invite to just watch this service. And the beauty with the recorded service is you could fast forward things. You know, you could just go, if you want to skip over a hymn, which I hope you don't, then you could go exactly where you need to go. Now, today we have different things. We will have different readers. I have asked the affirmation class kids from the Church of the Risen King to bring the gospel reading to us, so we're going to hear them just in a short while. But before we do all that, I believe we need to sing this wonderful song together, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. So I would like to now, all of us, basically, if you want to stand in your own home, so be it, you could stand. And then let's all sing this beautiful, beautiful hymn together. Amen. That was a powerful, powerful song. And I just hope that we all take it in. Jesus Christ rose from the dead, and life will never, never be the same in the world. What I would like to do now is I would like to ask Peter just to lead us in a song that's called Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. As he does that, as we listen to the song, as Peter plays, I just pray and I hope that we will all pray that our heart, the eyes of our hearts will be open in order to truly understand the meaning of resurrection today. I know you all know it maybe we're just in the midst of all this virus and and a lot of the crazy things that are going in the world. We have not really focused on the resurrection that much. To be honest, it just this whole season of Lent really did not feel like Lent. But that's all right. You know, in times like this, God's invisible hand is still very much active in the world, more than you and I think. So I'd like to invite now Peter just to lead us, open our eyes, Lord, open the hearts, our hearts, Lord. And then as he sings it, just, you know, remember what Jesus did. This is how God showed his love for us. While we were still sinners, God died for us. So Peter, I'd like to now, I'll invite you to lead us in the song.
Eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. To see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. I pour out your power and love as we sing holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. I pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, 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 holy. I want to see you. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, holy, holy. I want to see you.
Amen. Thank you very much, Peter. That was beautiful. And we really need to open the eyes of our hearts in order to truly see Jesus. And a lot of the times we are looking at him through our physical eyes. That is just, you know, we're looking him around. Where is Jesus? Like Thomas, unless I see him, unless I touch him, unless I feel him, I will not believe. And Jesus told him, blessed are those who believe without seeing. So we do believe today. We are gathered together because we do believe. I've got a few announcements before we go into the scripture readings, and looking forward to this. Again, I've never done this service. It feels extremely weird to talk to myself. Absolutely extremely weird. The only time I do that is in the shower or when I'm driving. I talk to myself. But I think, you know, in instances like this, I'm looking at a screen. I'm talking to myself. I know there are people out there. I know you guys are laughing your heads off, but it would have been great to see you face to face. I would highly encourage you, if you've got your microphone on, we're going to name you and shame you if it's you. So if you've got your microphone on, just switch it off right now. Otherwise, I'm just going to jump from the screen and come to your home and switch it for you in a nice way. And also, if you've got your cameras on, just switch it off as well. It just helps with the broadcasting of this whole thing. Sunday announcements. We had a great, great week last week. We had Bible studies, we had prayer meetings, we had Monday, Thursday evening service. And Friday, we concluded our services by saying that, you know, at 3 o'clock, Jesus died on the cross. He basically, after that, he was taken, he was buried. And then we were looking forward to this Resurrection Sunday. Now, this coming week, we are going to continue with our Bible studies. I would highly encourage you to join us via Zoom. Our next Bible study, I'm taking Monday off, so I'm not going to do a thing. But Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, join us for a great, great Bible study. These are interactive. We get around 30 people or 40 people. We want to bless your friends as well. This is the time to really be engaged with God's word, learn more. I mean, I don't feel, you know, I don't condemn people who don't know the Bible, but I think I really get upset when people say, well, I don't want to know anything about it. Where our lives, really depend on it. And especially on times like this, I do believe this is a great time. It's a horrible time in the world, especially for those who are, you know, stuck at home or struggling with the virus, or those who even passed away. And my heart goes out to each and every person there and each and every family, especially those people, especially the elderly, I would say. Sometimes we say, oh, they were elderly. Well, elderly are equally important as young people because they are God's creatures. So no matter what your age is, whether the person is dying was 1 year old or 100 years old or 110 years old, it doesn't matter because, you know, God loves them, and death is a horrible thing. And we're going to talk a little bit about that just in a short while. But my heart goes out to them. Around 20,000 plus people have died in America today through this virus. But we need to also pray against this in order for this virus to be uplifted, and also people that they will never forget these difficult times. You know, the Second World War generation, we're a church-going generation, we're a God-loving generation, because they've seen, they saw horrible things, and they realized that they cannot function without God being in the center of their lives. You don't have to be perfect. I don't need to be perfect. God loves us just the way we are, but he wants us also to move forward by being more like his son. Now, on Wednesday night, we're going to have a Bible study, and then we're also going to have a prayer meeting during this week. I'll send you things via email, so I would highly, highly encourage you, if you are not on my email list, I send nice stuff every week, so I have to admit, I put a lot of work on these emails, so when you know, if you're not on my email list, just send me an email on inforisenking@gmail.com. I'm going to put that address up, and then later on in the chat box, I'm going to give you all the information. Tithes and offerings. I'm grateful that we live in an electronic age, that you could support the church, and we need your support. If you're out of work, please take care of yourself. You know, we want to bless you and saying God still loves you. We know you're going through hard times. At this time, maybe you should not offer things to God, but it is, again, it is up to you and up to your faith. But those of you who can, we highly encourage you to go on our website, thecrk.com, and you could make your donations through e-checks or credit cards. We don't take diamonds or gold at this stage because we can't transmit them through online, but we take all major credit cards, all debit cards, as well as e-checks, as well as you could give through your phone. I'm going to put all the details there later on for you. You just have to type in the number, text it, and then the whole thing will be done for you. Now, this is the email address of the church if you want to sign up. I would love to hear from you if you're new to our service today. inforisenking@gmail.com. Believe me, we're not going to sell your email to Amazon or Google. They already have it. They know more about you than we do. The only thing you're going to get through this email address is just information from the church. And finally, what I like to do as a community, that we're all gathered from different parts of this, of the country and the states, and I like to affirm our faith on a Sunday like this, because there's a lot of crazy people out there and a lot of crazy churches out there who believe in anything and everything. But on a Sunday like this, we need to affirm our faith by saying the Apostles' Creed together, because this is what unites us. So with one voice, let us say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. I just pray and I hope that as you are reading with me the Apostles' Creed, that you will encourage that God rose Jesus from the dead, and he is coming back, and he's gonna come back in style. He's going to be on a cloud, and he will be just, you know, coming down with his angels, and the end will come with that. But I just pray and I hope until that time that we as Christians, we as people of God will do our utmost best to bring people to his kingdom. And through mediums like this, through Bible studies, we are really spreading the word around. So do your part so that I can do my part. So, and this is where we come into this part where if you're with your family and if you live by yourself today and you don't have anybody around you, you know, spend this just minute or two with the Lord and say, you know, I am grateful for the peace that you bring upon my life. Thank you for all your provisions. Thank you for just being there for me. Even when I don't see you, Lord, your invisible hand is upon me and upon my family. You protect me at times that I'm not even aware that I needed protection. I'm grateful. So if you're with your family, this is the time to pass the peace of the Lord with one another. All my family are somewhere in their rooms with their iPads and iPhones watching this service. That's what makes it extremely weird. When your own family, who are like 30 or 20 feet away from you, they are listening to you via online. And I have to tell my kids, if you're playing games or if you are just watching movies instead of watching your father, purgatory is near. My purgatory, that is. So, but that's just besides the point. May the peace of the Lord be with you. And I can hear you saying, also with you.
Also
now,
with you.
Now, Peter is going to play a wonderful song again. There is power in the name of Jesus. And as he does that, just pass the peace of the Lord to one another.
There is power in the name of Jesus. We believe in his name. We have called on the name of Jesus. We are saved. We are saved at his name. The demons flee at his name. Captives are free. For there is no other name that is than Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus, like a sword in our hands. We declare in the name of Jesus, we shall stand, we shall stand at his name. God's enemies shall be crushed beneath our feet. For there is no other name that is higher
you, Peter. Thank you very much. And now we are going to go through the reading of the gospel before my sermon. And I have to tell you something about cemeteries later on. That's why I put this picture. One of the things I do a lot of weird stuff, but I guess that's what makes me so unique. I always, whenever I travel anywhere in the world, I carry my camera with me. And when I carry my camera with me, one of the very first things that I do, where my wife hates it, absolutely hates it, I go to cemeteries, especially old cemeteries, and I start spending literally sometimes hours there, going from one stone to the other and reading what's written on it. Now, I'm not going to read everything that's written on these. This was a picture that I took in September in Scotland when I was visiting my daughter. But there's a powerful image there, and we're going to come to that. But at this stage, I would like to invite the four kids who are doing affirmation classes. We're going to start with Carly Saliba, who will be reading, all of them will be reading to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28. And you will see all the verses on your screen just in a short while. And after Carly, we're going to have Sophia Kalustian. She'll be reading it to us. And then followed by Brian Hakimian, Jr. And then Aram Minetian. I guess he is junior. So now I would like to invite Carly, if you could just do the first part of the reading. And then just once you're done, then, you know, Sophia, if you could come in, and then Brian, and then, of course, Aram.
Matthew 28, verses 1 through 4. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to look at the tomb. There was a violent earthquake, for the angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and going to the tomb, rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothes were white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men.
This is where Sophia will come in.
The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen, just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples, 'He has risen from the dead and is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you.' So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to his disciples to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee. There they will see me." This is the word of the Lord.
While the women were on their way, some of the guards went into the city and reported to the chief priests everything had happened. When the chief priests had met with the elders and devised a plan, they gave soldiers a large sum of money, telling them, You are to say, his disciples came during the night and stole him away while we were asleep. If this report gets to the governor, we will satisfy him and keep you out of trouble. The soldiers took the money and did as they were instructed. And this story has been widely spread, circulated among the Jews to this very day. This is the word of the Lord.
Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And this is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, Aram. Thank you very much. Just before I do my preaching, I would like us to sing a song together, especially at times like this, what we are going through. I do believe the ministry of the church at this stage, at times like this, is to be a forerunner, telling people, wherever they might be in the world, about what God has done. as Elijah has done, as Elisha has done, as Ezekiel has done, as the prophets have done, as people, just ordinary people, have done. So as we sing this, sing along. It's a beautiful, beautiful song. It's called These Are the Days of Elijah. And I do believe in many ways we are living in days like the days of Elijah. So I'm going to play this and let's sing it together at your own home, and I'll sing it here. Shining like the sun, like the trumpet call. beautiful, beautiful song. It truly depicts to what is really taking place. Oops, I'm not going to play this again. But it is a wonderful, wonderful song where, you know, it's all about Jehovah. It's all about what he has done. And especially on Easter Sunday, there's a lot for us to celebrate. Now, I try to, every Easter morning, try to take a different route to tell the Easter story. I know there are the stories very clearly, was read in from our Bibles, from Matthew chapter 28. It tells us exactly what took place. Luke tells it to us. Mark tells it to us. John tells it to us. So there's you know, we all know, I think if you've attended Sunday school or just heard the resurrection story, most of us know that Jesus, on a Sunday after the crucifixion, he rose from the dead. Now, what I'm going to do, just with through a few slides, as I said earlier, one of my favorite hobbies, I know it's a very weird hobby, I like to visit old cemeteries. I've done a lot of funerals in my life, maybe over 100 or 120, and I do know that whenever I go to a cemetery that's new, funeral directors are always worried if they know me, because I wander off. I wander off and start looking at stones and headstones, and I read what's written on them. I read the dates. Now, in America, we have old cemeteries, but they are not as old as the ones in Europe. This is a cemetery that I visited in September in Scotland. And there were people buried there from the 1600s. That's a long time. But there were people of all ages. And there was a little coffin, which there was a little headstone. There was a year old that was that died of the plague. Your heart breaks. But it just seems every headstone had a scripture verse or a story on it. Now, one of my favorite headstones is the cross, you know. And the reason I say this, they're all nice, they're all fine when you go to the cemetery, but one of the things that stands out to, for me is this cross of Christ, because the cross of Christ is the power of God. See, it's a tragic thing when somebody dies, no matter how old they are, no matter what they die from, no matter how old they are, death is ugly. It is absolutely ugly because it separates us from our loved ones, from their physical presence, and which we kind of miss in the long run. But when I go to cemeteries, I don't go every week, so don't get ideas that I just, you know, I go and spend my time every day in the cemetery. But when I'm there, one of the things I look for is the cross, are the crosses, because it just validates my faith. Because the cross that you see here on your screen is an empty cross. It's a Celtic cross, it's a Celtic cross, but it is an empty cross. There's nobody on it because we know Jesus died and was resurrected. That's why the resurrection validates my own faith. People ask me, why do I believe so passionately in what I believe? I say, because the resurrection of Christ validates my faith in him. Without his resurrection, the Christian faith will be just like any other religion. And all the founders, my friends, of other religions are still buried wherever they were buried, 1,000 or 2,000 years ago or 100 years ago. I mean, you take a person like Joseph Smith, the founder of the Mormon sect, he's still buried where he is buried. No one, absolutely no one rose from the dead. So, I forgot what I was saying here. Let me just, I'm also admitting people here as, so the resurrection of Christ validates my faith in him. And without his resurrection, the Christian faith for me will be just like any other religion in the world. Other religions in the world, they call us to do good, be good, stay good, and hope that one day you'll be worthy of heaven. My worth in this life and the life to come stands firm in who I am in Jesus Christ. I am a child of God through adoption, loved, forgiven, transformed, empowered, victorious, given the power to do all things for God's glory through Christ who strengthens me. Jesus is all sufficient. He is all that I need and you need. Now you know why I don't settle for anything less. because there's nothing in this world that even comes close to what Jesus offered through his resurrection. I'm sorry, we need to go back. I was not intending for this slide to show up, but you know, now that I know how to do things or not do things, if you just hold on with me just for a second. Here we go. Not really. This is the, you all know now that we're singing this song later on. But again, I think you've seen enough. So I'll go back to my screen and then we'll play that later on. Now, you know why I so passionately believe in the cross of Jesus, why I believe in the resurrection of Jesus. And for me, it's just very special. You know, for many, faith is just, it's a good thing to have. For me, it's just very, very real. And Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, makes it for me extremely real. So therefore, and what I'm going to share with you is, it's important because these are not my words. These words are going to affect your life. And the life of your children and your family, because they do come from the living word of God. Now, as I said, I'm going to take another approach to the resurrection story today, but it's important to retell the story. Now, we went through the Holy Week. Thursday was a very important day on the calendar of Christianity, because it is there in the upper room Jesus establishes the New Testament by taking the cup and saying, this is the blood of the new covenant. By just him saying that, what he is meaning that the old covenant, the Mosaic covenant, is no longer valid. It's obsolete, actually. The book of Hebrews, the author to the book of Hebrews, he says, you know, by the new coming, the old has become obsolete. That's why I do not go through the purification rituals of the Old Testament anymore. Boy, what a burdensome thing it was. In Christ, I am free because my perfection does not depend on what I do. It's what he did on the cross. So my punishment, he took it on the cross on Friday so that I've become free. But free with responsibility. Just because I have been declared free, it doesn't mean that I want to go back to my old life. The Apostle Paul said, you know, the moment he put his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, the moment he transformed from the Old Testament to the New Testament, from the Old Covenant to the New Covenant, he says, I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. That's Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Now, we also said to the Corinthians, he said, the moment I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, I have become a new creation. The old has gone and the new has come. Now, if you want to test a person who's a true Christian, and I'm not just calling, you know, I'm not just saying a person who's a traditionalist Christian or a religious Christian, look at their lives. And if you see that that person is very different today than he was a year or two or 4 years ago or 10 years ago, then you will know that God is working in their hearts and they're being truly transformed. But if nothing has changed, then you know that that person still where they were 10 years ago. Pretends just does not work in the resurrection story. Truly, Jesus resurrects our souls, not our bodies yet. But when a person puts their faith in the Lord, their souls are resurrected. They become alive. No wonder the Bible calls it to be born again. And people had issues with it. And they said to Jesus, how can a person go? Does that mean that they have to go back to their mother's womb, which is something so impossible? And, you know, Jesus says, what is impossible with man? It's possible with God. So what he does, he gives us birth from inside. But that requires us putting our faith in him and recognizing that we cannot make it in this life without his presence. Now, on Friday, of course, they beat him up on Thursday night, and then through Friday at 9 o'clock, they put a big wooden thing on his shoulders, and he starts walking. And there is a man by the name of Simon the Cyrene. He was an African man from Libya. And the Roman soldiers just grab him and they say, well, carry his cross. The guy was a Jewish man. He was of African origin. He had no idea what this whole thing was about. He ended up carrying the cross of Jesus and walking in front of him. Sometimes what happens in life that you end up carrying Christ's cross without even planning on it. right? Life is just very interesting. You're walking, you're just minding your own business, and something happens in your life that you end up, like Simon the Cyrene, carrying the cross of Christ and walking in his presence. Now, those are divine appointments, because what happens to Simon the Cyrene, it's fascinating, because through him, a lot of Libyans, a lot of North Africans are going to come to faith, and his children, Rufus and Alexander, I know I'm not making these things up, they're all in the book of Acts, they're going to come to faith, his wife is going to come to faith, and then one of the teachers in Antioch, in Syria, the very first place that Christians were called Christians, is going to be one of the teachers. So one man came out of the blue to carry Christ's cross to Golgotha, the place of the skull, and there his life will be changed. Sometimes you don't even have to try. God will bring you where you need to be brought. And I do believe this virus, this whole thing that the world is going through, a lot of people are getting on their knees because there's nowhere else to go. And my prayer is that at the end of the day, when this virus expires, it goes away, people will stand up from their knees praising and acknowledging God. I know many will just go back and turn to their old lives. But my prayer is that many will change their lives and acknowledge that they cannot control their lives. And death is real. It's coming. We all have an expiry date. But thanks be to God that death is not the end for the Christian, for the believing Christian, but it is the beginning of a glorious life. No wonder the Apostle Paul could not wait to die. I mean, please don't follow the Apostle Paul's example. He was the Apostle Paul. You and I are not. I think we need to enjoy life, because life is sacred. It's a gift from God. We need to take care of it. But when our expiry date comes, it is the Lord who knows it. And thank God we don't know this. But God, when we are ready, we're going to enjoy him forever in his presence. And my friends, this is not a figment of my imagination. This is the driving force in my life, because these are based on facts and the facts of the resurrection. They take Jesus to the cross. They nail him on the cross. At 3 o'clock in the afternoon, after they mock him, after they spit on him, at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, Jesus says, "It is finished." And with that, he commits his spirit to his heavenly Father. And then at that very moment, there's a major, major earthquake. Things are falling apart. And the curtain in the temple, there was a big, huge curtain, a thick curtain with 30 feet high that you could not even, tear it with a knife. God splits that curtain. And with that, he basically invites all those who want to come to the presence of God. They're able to do that in the name of Jesus and through Jesus. Now, they take his body down on Friday night. And Joseph of Arimathea, he was a man from Arimathea. He was a religious man. He was a Jewish man, but he was a believing man. He disagreed with the hierarchy to crucify Jesus. It is him who takes the body after he gets permission from the Roman governor and takes him to his own place, to his own tomb, a brand new tomb. And then he places the body of Christ there. Now, the women were trying to rush and bring embalming flowers and spices to embalm Jesus's body on Friday, but they run out of time because the Sabbath starts. So therefore, they have to leave his body till Sunday morning. So Sunday morning comes, as Carly read to us earlier, that the ladies go to the grave in order to basically embalm his body. And however, they don't find Jesus there. An angel appears to them and he says, he's not here. He's gone. He is risen. Now imagine how happy the angels were. Now, see, the angels were Jesus's creation. They were there to worship Christ even before Jesus came to planet Earth. Now they were just, they were just so happy that Jesus, their creator, their Lord, their King, is very much alive. And from that point and onward, the universe, not just people and then history, the universe will never be the same. Now, when I was thinking about Jesus rising from the dead, I don't know. Do you know how many people rise from the dead in the Bible? I've asked my wife She guessed the number, but just for a second, throw a number there. 4, 5, 6, 2. Who were they? Now you don't have to guess. I counted 10. 10 people who were utterly dead came to life. Now there are 2 people in the Old Testament, and the rest are in the New Testament. Now if you know, you don't have to go through the Bible. I'm just going to mention these names very, very quickly. Now we have Elijah, who was the old prophet. There he stays he rents a room at a widow's in Zarephath. And there's a widow there. She has a son. She takes care of Elijah. She cooks for him and all that, even though she did not have much. But eventually Elijah, you know, what happens to the son of this widow? She dies. So she's afraid. She's blaming God, that God, you know, brought punishment upon herself. But Elijah, the prophet of God, he goes and basically resurrects that boy from his bed. So that's the first time that we see a dead man rising, a dead boy rising. And you'll find the story of this in 1 Kings chapter 17, verses 17 to 24. Now, the second story is the story of Elisha, not Elijah. It was his student. It was Elisha. There he was staying. He was renting a room at a couple's home. And the woman could not conceive. Elisha prayed for the couple. She was able to give birth, but the boy grew up, and then he had a terrible headache. We don't know what it was, and he dies. Now, Elisha is away, but the mother sends after Elisha. Elisha comes, and he rises the child from the dead. It's interesting, isn't it? You don't think about these things, resurrections, when it comes to the resurrection of the Lord. Now, the third story is a funeral procession of an Israelite man. And as they are taking in the Old Testament, and the story is found in 2 Kings chapter 13, verses 20 to 21, as they are just taking the men to be buried, there's a mob who is just attacking them. They were there after their money. And so these guys who are carrying the body, they get scared. So they hide the body where Elisha's body was buried. And there, the moment the body touches the bones of Elisha, he is resurrected from the dead. Interesting, isn't it? Then we have, in the New Testament, there's another funeral procession where a widow, she has one son, and the son dies, so she has nobody else left, and they are taking him to be buried. And as they are going to the funeral, as they're walking, Jesus basically shows up with his disciples in 9. And we find the story in Luke chapter 7, verses 11 to 17. And during the funeral procession, Jesus raises that boy from the dead. In Luke chapter 8, we have another story. Jairus's daughter, he was a leader in the synagogue. Again, she dies, and then Jesus raises the daughter from the dead. Of course, we have this famous story of Lazarus. Now, Jesus hears that his best friend dies, but he prolongs his going to Martha and Mary's house. They were the sisters of Lazarus. He prolongs his journey there, and then he arrives like 3-4 days later. And Martha and Mary, they are just beside themselves, and they say to Jesus, "If you would have just come here while he was sick, you would have healed him." But it's interesting what Jesus tells them and tells Martha this. He says, he's not dead yet. He says, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" I believe the same question is being asked to each and every person today. Do you believe that Jesus is the resurrection? And anyone who believes in him, even when they die, they will still be alive. Now, on Thursday or Friday, I think during the Bible study, I said, you know, it's important to take care of our bodies. It's important to take care of our bodies, but our bodies are aging. Now, you could see I'm using, you know, those, whatever they are. They are not sunglasses, but they are reading glasses. Now, you know, some years ago, I never needed these, but for some reason, as I always say, my Bible is shrinking, and so it's just not my eyes, but let's just not, you know, create stories. Of course, we are all aging. From the moment we are conceived, our bodies are aging, if you really think about it. And then there comes a time where we need to acknowledge that no matter what we do to our bodies, they're going to fail. Some people do, as I said on Friday, the Bible study, some people do Botox. There's nothing wrong with Botox as long as, you know, the right doctor does it. We lift our faces up and right and left, and until there comes a point where our bodies will not be able to function, and then eventually they expire. But that's not the end of the story, because our spirits count, because that's what's going to live afterwards. See, a lot of the times we spend so much time on our physical bodies, and there's nothing wrong with that, but we need to equally invest time preparing our spirits that's going to live forever. Where do we want our spirits to spend eternity? That is the question where a lot of people are so busy today doing life that they are not really thinking about eternity. I mean, whether we like it or not, we don't know what will happen tomorrow. And the question becomes, are you ready? I know I am, but are you ready? But every person could only answer that question for himself or herself. I cannot say, well, he's a good man, I think he's all right. That won't count. The only person who could answer is you, and only you. And I hope you will say absolutely. I remember when I lived in London with a friend of mine, we visited a doctor who was from the Gulf. He was very generous with us. He cooked a beautiful meal. He was studying to become a doctor. And he looked at me and he said, are you ever afraid of death? I said, well, I don't want to die, but it all depends what you mean with fear. And he said, there's not a day that goes by that I'm afraid. I said, afraid of what? He says, if I'm going to go to heaven or not. I said, well, that's valid. I said, we need to fear that. But I said, you know, I have found a solution. And he says, what's your solution? Do you pray? I said, yeah, I pray, but my prayers are not going to take me to heaven. And he says, well, do you fast? I said, yeah, I fast, but that's not going to take me to heaven. I said, when I fast, I cheat as well, because I get so hungry that I just, you know, I break my fast in the middle of the day. You start laughing, but he says, what's your secret? I said, Jesus. I said, because I truly believe in him, I know where my destiny is, where I'm going to spend eternity. He says, are you sure? I said, 150%, because it doesn't depend on what I believe or what I think. The resurrection of Jesus is a fact. It happened. Historians wrote about it, and the devil hates it. And therefore, I said, I have put my trust in the Lord Jesus. That's why I am so sure. And he started crying. He started crying in the middle of the conversation. This is a man from golf. And, you know, like I felt very uncomfortable with my friend there. And he says, I pray 5 times a day. I just give to the poor, but I don't have assurance. I don't know if God is going to send me to heaven or hell. Now, my friends, let me tell you, no religion can promise you eternity the way Jesus does, because Jesus is not about religion. It's about a personal faith in him and the work that he has done on the cross. You either believe in him or you reject him. There's no middle ground. What religion has done to this nation, unfortunately, and to many nations, they created a middle ground saying, all right, you know, you trust us and we will do things on your behalf. Remember in the 1500s, what happened? People were buying indulgences, a piece of paper that guaranteed that, you know, the Pope guaranteed that their souls will go to heaven after they died. Now we know that those things don't exist and they will never exist. Jesus is the only way that we could be safe. And as I said, no one can predict tomorrow. Who would have thought about coronavirus? You know, who would have thought about Spanish flu? Who would have thought about the great plague in the 1500s? I mean, we don't plan for these things. But the question becomes is, are we always ready? In all circumstances, are we ready? Now, I told you about Jesus's, you know, Lazarus's resurrection, where Jesus says, rise from the dead. Now, that's 7 people rising from the dead. 8 is Jesus's resurrection. You know, Jesus had the power to raise himself from the dead. And there's one other resurrection that people just don't know about it. and it's right there in the Bible. And I'm so excited to share it with you. Now, in Matthew chapter 27, verses 50 to 54, I don't know why we don't pay attention to these, but this is what it says. When Jesus shouted out, he released his spirit. This was at 3 o'clock. At that very moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn into two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. Now, we never think about cemeteries, which are very much dead. They become alive. But the resurrection of Jesus, the moment he died on the cross, his death opened the gates of the graves in order for godly men and women to rise from the dead, take new bodies, and go to Jerusalem and appear to people. Now, you know, we are told that in the last days, that's what's going to happen. That, you know, our spirits, let me just say, what happens when a believing Christian dies? I said this on Good Friday, I'll say it again. When a Christian man or a woman dies, who believes in the Lord as their Savior, the moment they die, they leave their bodies behind. And what they do is their spirits, their real them, I mean, that's who they are in the presence of the Lord. That's why the Apostle Paul said, absent from the body, but present in the Lord. So there's not this limbo place that people go, because there's nowhere in the Bible, no purgatory, no nothing that the Bible supports. When a person dies who believes in the Lord, they have nowhere to go but to the presence of Christ. And then on the day of judgment, when Christ returns, our spirits that are in the presence of the Lord, they're going to receive new bodies that are never going to expire. The book of Revelation, chapter 21 says, you know, there's going to be no more tears, no more crying, no more suffering, for the old things have passed away and the new things have come. You know, as long as we're living here on planet Earth, we are at the messy side of Jerusalem. The new Jerusalem, the spiritual Jerusalem is coming. But until then, I'm calling everybody to prepare their hearts and souls to be ready for New Jerusalem. Because when the moment passes and we've not made our decision here on earth, it will be too late. So let me give you two other places where there's resurrection. So the saints in Jerusalem, they rise from the dead. Of course, Dorcas, that wonderful woman who helped so many ladies and people, in Acts chapter 9, 36 to 42, she dies and she's ready for burial. Peter comes and raises her from the dead. And there's this guy, which I laugh every time I read about him. His name is Eutychus. He was a guy who attended the Apostle Paul's church. They were having the Lord's Supper. They were basically gathered in a room. It was the third floor of a building in Jerusalem. And as Paul was just preaching, he got very much into preaching. And this guy was sitting on the windowsill, you know, just you know, minding his own business, listening to Paul. And he falls asleep. And as he falls asleep, he just falls from the third floor all the way down, and he's pronounced dead. That's what happens in many churches, where people fall asleep, you know, but they don't fall because they're sitting on pews. And it is there the Apostle Paul goes and raises him from the dead. So you could see that God has given Peter and Elijah and Elisha and Paul and many others that we don't know. You know, I read and I hear stories of missionaries who tell me stories like this, that in the name of God, that they have seen miracles, people being healed from diseases. God is capable of doing all this. But the greatest miracle is when a human being surrenders to God, not to the church, not to the pastor, not to the priest, but to God, and offers his life, his spirit to him, and say, Lord, use me and guide me for your glory. See, John the Baptist got it right when he said, I don't want to be in the limelight. He didn't say it in those words, but I'm just putting words in his mouth. But I'm sure he agrees, because this is what he truly said. He says, my job is to decrease so that my Lord increases. You know, if each and every person in this life eats some humble pie and they start working out from humility versus trying to find the limelight in life to be on them all the time, life will be much better and we'll be much more effective servants. I believe the reason God is not working as he should through many churches, because many churches stop preaching his gospel and they have started preaching their own gospels in order to appease people's ears. Friends, we live at a very, very crucial time here where we need to be very serious about our faith. Faith is extremely important because it makes all the difference between life and death, not only on this earth, but especially in the life to come. So wherever you are in your life, you might be saying, you know, I'm a bad boy. I was a bad boy, and I'm still, bad boy in a good way. You know, you can still be a bad boy in a good way. But there's nobody who's perfect. No, not a single person that I've met who is perfect. I always tell this story because I get very excited. We were out eating at a place, and there was this guy. He was just so funny. I think he had a gift to make everybody laugh. I always think of him because if he turns his life to Christ, he will be used immensely because he's got the gift of speaking, but he's got a foul mouth. I mean, every 3-4 words, there's a foul word. And he asked me even to forgive his French. And I told him, I don't think you were speaking French because I understand. I think you're just, you know, very gifted. But and he said to me, after he realizing that I was a pastor, he tried to be nice. They all try to be nice when they realize I'm a pastor. But you don't have to be. Just be yourself, I say. But then one of the things he said, it always stays with me. He said, Father, there's not enough holy water that will make me clean. So just give up on me. And I told him right there, I said, you know, God never gave up on you. Why should I? And then I said, you are right by saying there's not enough holy water that's going to make you clean. It will take a drop of the blood of Christ, and it will make you all clean from inside out. I pray for that guy. Don't ask me why, because sometimes God burdens us to pray for certain people, even undeserving people. Remember the Apostle Paul? I mean, he was persecuting Christians, and God took hold of him and used him immensely. So do not ever underestimate what the impact you can make on somebody's life by being that link for bringing them closer to God. You might just be, you know, you might just not serve any other purpose after that, but that purpose that God has for you, never go any day without doing something for the Lord, and do not expect anything in return. And you might feel used at times. People might just use you and abuse you and drop you like a fly. It's okay. Because if your expectation is that you're going to get something in return, then you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Our life as Christians, as resurrected people with the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we do good, not for our own benefit, but for his glory and his glory alone. See, we have such an assurance. I wish everybody gets so passionate in their faith, because you don't even have to say a word. Your own excitement will make people wonder, and they will start asking the question, has that person lost it? Because he is not the same person. And you could go and say, yes, I lost my old self because I found a new life in Christ. You know, you have to start somewhere, you know, and Resurrection Day such as this invites all of us to begin new in him. So the last thing that I want to say, we're going to play a hymn and we're all going to sing this together. It's a beautiful hymn that it shows us how we have such a faith, a short faith in him. It's based on facts. And I just pray that wherever you are in your life, you know, it doesn't matter if you are, maybe you're struggling today, you know, maybe you want to be where you are, but life circumstances is just holding you back. Remember, all things are possible through him who gives us the strength. yeah, you know, stop. Maybe you're working too hard. Maybe you're trying too hard. Maybe you just, you know, you've been turning into circles, and this virus that God allowed, yes, without God's allowance, this virus would not have appeared. Maybe God allowed it in order for people to come back to him and say, Lord, we cannot do this by ourselves. We need your guidance. And from that very point, that they will start living new lives. So I pray that, you know, whatever I've said, it's been a blessing. If I was able to bring you this close to God than from where you were just before you joined the service, then this service really did its trick. Because it's not me, it's the Holy Spirit who speaks through all of us and through one another. And we're going to play another hymn, and I would highly encourage you all to sing it. You can stand at home, or you could just sit down. Just don't fall asleep. But sing this along with me. And it's called Blessed Assurance, Jesus is Mine. And then I've got a few more things to say. And also I'm going to be sending via text all the information about how you could give online. I've told you that I was going to do that, and I'm just doing it right now. You could do your offering while the music is being played, Blessed Assurance, or you know, you could send a check, or just don't do a thing. Whatever God puts on your heart. So let's all stand or sit or whatever you want to do and sing this beautiful hymn together.
Love. This is
Amen. It's interesting that it doesn't say just, you know, in good times I'm praising God, or in difficult times or in stormy times, but at all times I am praising God. And now, you know, let me just give you the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you today. May His grace always stay with you and upon your loved ones now and forever. Amen. Now, just let me remind you that I'm going to play one more music. I have to do this for my wife's sake because it's a Celtic worship. And it is a beautiful worship that, no, I'm not going to do that. If I could play this, you cannot, and I'm okay. It's a beautiful song. It tells you, you know, that the price has been paid. Meanwhile, as this music is playing, I would highly encourage you to leave words of encouragement through the chat box, to wish one another happy Easter. This is a difficult time for everyone, wherever they might be, but it's also a good time to be able to connect via chat boxes or Zoom and so on. So as I play this song, may God really bless you as a family. It's a beautiful day outside. I'm planning to go out and go for a walk, and hope you can do that as well. And just enjoy your family, because these times are going to basically pass. And as a friend said, you know, we're going to miss those days, just not the terrible things that are going on, but, you know, being together as a family under the same roof. God has given us this time of Sabbath, I say, just to rest. And then, you know, go to our works from our rest versus rest from our work. So as I play this, I just wish you all the best, and feel free to email me your information if you are not on our mailing list, and we will take care of it from there. Now, what we need to do is, here we go.
Left a crimson stain, he washed it white as
announced. Amen. That was beautiful, beautiful, another beautiful hymn that we, hopefully you enjoyed it. And I'm going to keep playing one more, of these.